the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
A Nickelodeon original podcast.
Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements ad-free with Avatar Braving the Elements Premium
on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe today.
Benders and non-benders alike, welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And we are in studio together today,
but
we have some special guests that are coming in remotely for a special episode that we are mysteriously calling Choosing Your Fate.
Choose your fate, everybody.
Is it I messed up.
It is very. No, listen. You can. We're
choose
calling,
your fate.
Choose your fate. Choose your fate. That's right. You know, we have, I would say, two Avatar fans who are not just talking the Avatarverse talk. They are walking the Avatarverse walk, if you will, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, Varney, I love everything you said, but I would love to maybe even just a pinch. Have you elaborate that?
Yeah,
still a little bit.
I know, really I'm still being mysterious. I don't know why I'm being so mysterious.
Choose your fate. What does that mean?
I don't know why I'm being so mysterious. Well, okay, it's just, this is the thing. You know that one of the main things that we love doing on the podcast is really digging into, you know, just the amazing, the lessons, the values,
right.
The inspiration that we get from watching Avatar, The Last Airbender, watching Legend of Korra.
Which is why this is the best job in the world.
Exactly. But what if I told you that these guests are able to talk about that same kind of stuff that we love to explore on Braving the Elements, but they have also kind of taken the Avatarverse and applied it to their careers, which in turn affects the people that they come into contact
with. That sounds awesome.
They're helping people choose their fate.
Okay, well then let's bring them in. I want to hear more about this.
Okay.
Let's bring them in.
All right, let's do it. First, we want to welcome Melanie Waldman, who is an advocate for disability in the media. She is also a QVC model, was part of Selma Blair's adaptive fashion launch, and a two-time Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge team winner. Melanie, welcome.
Hey,
Hi.
Melanie.
Hello.
Welcome.
You guys. Thank you so much for having me. This is the best day ever. Best day. Couldn't be better.
Well,
thank you.
We definitely want to hear all about the amazing stuff you're doing. But before that, let's bring in the other guests so everyone can meet them and be a part of this conversation. Right, Varney?
Okay, 100%. Let us welcome in Katie Madura, who studies and teaches multiple martial arts, traditional and flashy, and incorporates her inspiration of the fighting styles in Legend of Korra and The Last Airbender into her work. Hello, Katie.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing well.
So good. It's great to see you again. Melanie, you and I are meeting for the first time, although we had a wonderful chat before we started recording. Katie, I'm seeing you again. We met at a con, and if memory serves, I feel like I embarrassed you in front of everyone by being like, oh, so you are Korra. Like, I'm talking to Korra right now.
No, that is the highest honor I think I could have ever gotten from anybody. That was honestly, I think I told like everyone about that.
Hey, which con con was this?
Where were we?
It was Chicago Comic Con.
Okay,
B2E2.
That's right.
I was there.
C2E2. Yeah. Did you guys meet?
You were not there.
No, we see this.
I wasn't there.
With the overlap is that
you
we've done
there?
It.
It's I like, was there. No, you weren't.
It's like we've done it together. We've done it apart. One's been here.
Katie
one
looks
hasn't.
Familiar to me too. Are you sure I wasn't there?
Have you guys?
You know, if I'm familiar to you, I'm about to lose my mind.
He recognizes greatness.
Hey.
He recognizes greatness.
Now, Melanie, in the you said
my little intro. Yeah,
you said QVC.
I brought
model?
Up QVC.
What
yeah,
is
I
that?
Might have dropped Selma Blair's name.
There was some name dropping.
I'm intrigued. What's going on, Melanie? What's going on with that?
So yes, it's true. I am a on-air talent member at QVC. I'm on the model roster. They call it a static model, which I think is great for this because, you know, Azula and her lightning. That is the static.
Oh, Melanie's jumping into some Azula very soon.
Already jumping in. Already jumping
into it. I see some Azula vibes there. Look at that top bun going on.
Oh, yes. Oh, you knew it. You knew what's going on. You can already tell.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love it. Katie, so one of the things that you and I talked a lot about when we were hanging out at C2E2 was just sort of the way, like, your relationship to martial arts and kind of how Avatar informs it. And I feel like we even talked about, and I think it's sort of out there, this kind of John Wick style of choreography, like this sort of stuff that we all kind of take for granted. But are we asking the question, like, where did it come from? And like, where do those sort of worlds collide when you look at how stuff is being depicted in the media with choreography? Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. So if we think about action movies, kind of 90s, 80s, even or the early 2000s, it was a very rough and gruff. I'm going to hit you across the face and you're going to hear the doosh and the ugh. And then it's going to go across the face. And it's very kind of 1-2 static. Or we get kind of into the Bourne legacy, Jason Bourne. We got that shaky camera. And that was kind of to cover a little bit of the skill set of the actors, just in case something didn't look as good. We knew something was happening. So how do we start to portray the martial arts? Well, interestingly enough, two people from our school, their names are Mike Chet. Mike Chet, it was actually one of the Blue Power Rangers back in the day.
Yeah.
And we have another student named Matt Mullins. Now they're both adults, I believe 40s or 50s years old, but they are students from my instructor as well. So we come from the same lineage. We're all black belts from the same school. Mike Chet invented something called XMA. And XMA stands for Extreme Martial Arts. Mm. So he has that coin term. So this is where we start to see the flashy stuff, the spin kicks. I'm doing a backflip and then hitting somebody in the back of the head. And the idea was that we want to take basic martial art concepts and turn them into something flashy so that we have this concept where everybody can start from somewhere and turn it into this thing. So now we have movies like we get Atomic Blonde, or we get the John Wick, as you were saying, where we have these actors who have these, you know, some martial arts training, and we're able to have longer cuts and longer choreography because of the training and this concept that was created.
That is so awesome.
Phenomenal.
And I think that is something that really empowers. I mean, listen, actors are fine, but like it does feel good when you are more participative in stuff like that. And
yes,
and to not feel like, you know, like you were talking about, it's like some of those older movies when we watch them, it's like, did they never realize that we were going to be able to pause at a certain point? Because sometimes it's like, oh, that's not, you know, Cameron Diaz, that's a man. Like,
no,
with
true.
Facial hair. You
course,
know what I mean?
Of course. So. And I, like, when I did Hook, we did a lot of training.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I did all my sword fighting, so I feel very
see, this
proud
what I'm
about
talking
that.
It feels good when they don't have to cut away right away.
Exactly,
exactly what you were saying, Katie.
But as you get older,
those
training those sessions,
cutaways start to feel pretty
those
good.
Those training sessions, like, well, I gotta go where? Are we gonna do what?
I gotta be house sore the next
hold
day.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Is there no one that you can find that looks like me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know some guys.
Yeah. They kind of look like me.
They look good.
They look to roughhouse.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's I think you're right. And I also love the kind of, I feel like what you're describing too, there's like, we sort of, it almost like skips back to more OG stuff, like the same kind of stuff that Mike and Brian were inspired by,
right,
where you're really just seeing the grace and beauty of martial arts.
Totally.
In a way that, like, I really appreciate. I feel like you see that in films more now, and I'm sure Crouching Tiger had a lot to do with
of
that
course,
too.
So many,
such
yeah,
huge.
Well, yeah, it's a whole, it's a different world.
Yeah.
I mean, go movies that I love, Errol Flynn movies and things of the past. And,
yeah.
You know, these
yeah.
you're going, what they're doing now
yeah.
is wild.
Yeah.
Back to Melanie. Talk to me
yes.
about the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. I growing up, I did a lot of stuff with Easter Seals. I was involved with Easter Seals for many years, but I didn't know
yeah.
about this Disability Film Challenge.
Oh, I would love to talk about that. It's honestly so close to my heart. I've been a part of it since 2017. I did my first competition. A friend of mine, actually from the same area, she had lost a leg. We were connected through theater groups.
Wow.
And I saw she participated. I had just graduated with my degree in theater. And I acquired my disability. I go by disabled. I'm disabled. I became disabled in 2013. So I had taken some time to think about it. I was like, I got to just give it my all and go for this. So she and I linked up. we made our first film, and I have been doing the Disability Film Challenge ever since then. I'm obsessed with it. They do their finale at Sony Pictures, which I got to go to twice. Both years that I won, I was there in person. It was amazing. And so the film challenge was actually essentially created by a man named Nick Novicki, who is a colleague and friend. Honestly, I look up to him so much. He does a lot for advocacy and disability inclusion in the media. And we really want people with disabilities playing characters who are disabled and have that representation show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
100%.
Yeah. It's really about getting those people in front of the camera and having people in Hollywood watch our films and share them. The award that I've won twice for was actually, it's an advocacy award. So the amount of spread that you get and people to watch. So it really is, it goes back to advocating and spreading the word about the talent that there is out there, just getting us there, getting us in the door. So also shout out to Danielle Pretzfelder Demchik for getting me here.
Yes,
and she just is,
our Danielle.
She is such a great, great advocate for us. I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about her. But yes, thank you for asking me about the film challenge. It's been a great road. And you guys, you should definitely check out the films this year. They're announcing the genre coming up this weekend. And then in April, I think the first week of April is the challenge for this year.
Okay, so everything gets knocked out in a week, essentially. Like the idea
done.
Is like, let's
yes.
push through this. Got it, got it.
Ready, set, go.
I love
mm-hmm.
it. I love it.
I love a film challenge.
Oh, me too. Although it's been a minute since
it's
I did
it.
We'll come back
it's
to that.
It's a commitment.
We'll come
it
back
is a
to
commitment.
That. It's definitely a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, as we're sort of living in this world, thinking about empowerment and thinking about inspiration, I would love to hear from you kind of when the Avatarverse came into your life and you know, how it's kind of shaped what you're doing now.
Yeah. So a little backstory, little Katie had no idea what martial arts was until I saw the next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank. It had nothing to do with the fact that she was a woman. It had everything to do with the fact that people were hitting each other and it looked like it made sense. And I was like, this is a thing? Excuse me. So, you know, I fell in love with karate at that age. So I was about 9 turning 10 at that point. And I was like, oh my goodness, there's a show about martial arts with these elements.
You.
In fact, I remember the trailer and I remember Zuko going, you're just a child. And Aang goes, you're just a teenager. And I'm like, that's funny. And I remember specifically this show. And so what was so interesting about this show was, you know, we kind of touched on the fact that, you know, we have the John Wick choreography, and that's what people kind of think when they go into martial arts is, oh my goodness, I'm going to do all these cool moves. I'm going to look like a ninja. It's not the most realistic of situations. You know, it's most traditional martial arts places. And, you know, there are obviously outliers where aren't so great, and you have your schools that are great, and then it's across the board. But we start with traditional martial arts, which is the bread and butter. And the thing that's so amazing about Last Airbender is that you get to see the traditional martial arts. All of these, it's the four styles or four main styles of Kung Fu. I know Toph does a different style, Southern Mantis, but we have a concept in our school, and it's called Bunkai, and it's when you do your forms and you're explaining your form. It's somebody's attacking you while you're doing your form. So it's like, when I do these moves in the air, not everybody understands what's happening, because sometimes there's a punch and it's like, okay, I'm punching. Doesn't always make sense, but then you put it to something. And that's almost what we have with going on with the elements. And then when you hit to Legend of Korra, we've taken this traditional martial art, and now we've got the boxing, you know, of course, doing some judo with it. But it was very cool because now you have kind of like the 1920s industrial era. And that's when boxing kind of came into play. So now we're elevating it into not only do we have the traditional martial arts, we now have what people see with the MMA and the boxing and more of what we're normalized to. So having something that represented traditional martial arts so well with theories was so crazy. And I want to say that what I started to really look into the lessons behind Avatar was after watching Legend of Korra. I do relate to Korra really intensely. And during the same time I was training to get my black belts, I went through some injuries. And I went from, you know, lifting weights and like training like multiple times a week to the point where my doctor was like, you can't lift more than 10 pounds. Like your neck is messed up. And I was like, 10 pounds isn't a lot. That's a cat. Like, you can't pick up a cat.
10-pound cat? Katie, 10-pound cat?
Yeah.
That seems
right to me.
Is it?
Yeah, cats
what do you think
like
cats weigh?
I don't even know.
You think they weigh like 5 pounds?
Spelt. They're spelt.
Yeah, they are spelt. For a second, I thought you were suggesting that cats were made out of felt, but that's not what you were saying.
No.
You were saying they're
that's
spelt.
What I thought, too.
Okay, all right. 10 pounds seems about right. I don't know why I'm like holding my arms in the air as if that's helpful in any way. Like, okay, I'm imagining my cat, my cat, Luca. She was probably about 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I think. We're getting off track.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Don't pick up that cat, Katie. Don't pick up that cat.
Yeah.
Don't pick up the cat. So laying down, you know, you're told you can't work out. And that's exactly when you want to work out is when somebody tells you you can't. And you're like, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to rewatch my favorite series for the 80,000th time. I'm going to rewatch Korra. And just, it was like watching, I was like, oh my goodness, like book 3, spoilers. Korra in book 4 too, going through this trauma of not, you know, being able to move, everything stripped away from her. It hurt so bad, but it also was so nice to know that even though this was a fictional character, it was like having my feelings and emotions represented on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I understand that this show, she's going to come out in the end, but that doesn't mean I can't make myself come out on the end.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to kind of apply more of the Avatar lessons is after I went through my own trauma. And I was like, well, when I become my black belt or when I am given the responsibility of teaching, should I accept it? I'm going to start looking into different outlets as to how I can represent what helped me get through my own journey.
I love that so much.
That's the best.
It's not in my notes, but Katie knows this. I actually teach adaptive yoga, and that's Korra related so much to me in my story that way too. So hearing you say that that's your connection to it, relate hardcore, relatable content.
Teenagers, anger issues, but whatever.
For sure.
Many of us can relate to that as well.
How did the Avatar world come into your life, Melanie?
Oh, that's a great question. Actually, very similar to Katie. It was during the pandemic for me. It was when I had an appendectomy. So I was also down for the count and needed something to watch. And I believe that was when Avatar was there for streaming. Now, during the pandemic, I went full nerd. I binged all of these series.
Yes, as we
right?
all did.
Like watching Avatar for me was just kind of this. I watched it when I was younger, and I vividly remember I was a little bit older than my brother. He's 5 years younger than I am. So I'm in that little mix of I was older. I was the teenager, Katie, where I was kind of like watching but not watching because it was a kid's show. But I vividly remember the episode where they go to meet the King of Omashu and they're riding through the delivery system.
Yes.
And I remember that so well. So watching it and getting like, being an adult and watching Avatar, it is so nuanced and deep and beautiful. And for me, like I've talked about how I love getting into the juice of things. I love a good villain. I love a good backstory. And having Jason Isaacs, when I found out, I actually have been listening to your podcast as I rewatched it again for this to prepare. Jason Isaacs, I actually wrote a paper on him in college for my acting classes. They said, pick a villain. And I was like, just one? Do the Malfoys count as one character? Okay, here we go.
Lucius Malfoy.
Just Malfoy. And then, of course, like knowing all the voice actors behind this series, like Hugh Dante, and there are so many other actors. I'm sorry, Mark Hamill. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Sure. Don't mind if I do.
You have to mention it. Avatar for me, I haven't, like many of the other super fans on the show, I have not watched this hundreds and hundreds of times. I've been trying to. I think I'm about 6 times in. But still, this is very near and dear to my heart, like I said, because there's so much, especially in book 3 where we are now, that they get into the chakras and they get into yoga and all of these like really spiritual things that just at my core, I'm all about. So that's Avatar to me. That's really connecting back to being a nerd, being a yogi, being an actor. It just speaks to every part of who I am, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing about being a nerd that is so pleasing to me is like, if you're, when you're a true nerd, you don't care when people like tease you for loving something so deeply. And that's definitely true for me in the Avatarverse. Like, I very recently said to my partner, and he was like, you need to just talk about this with Dante because I'm not here for it. But he was laughing and teasing me. But I was like, he asked me some question. I was like, you know, it's kind of like how there wasn't an Avatar for 100 years. Like, when you really think about that, that is mind blowing. And he was like,
yeah,
is it mind blowing? He's like, is your mind blown right now?
Think about that right now.
And the, for this fictional world, because I was getting visibly like passionate about it. I was like, no, but really, like, we don't spend enough time talking about there is supposed to be an Avatar at all times. 100 years is a very long time to not have one.
Right.
And all the things that can go wrong in 100 years. And he was like,
which did go wrong?
I know you love the Avatarverse. Yeah. But he's like, you are talking about this as if it is present day society. In
did,
the real
did he
world.
Say? Did he say? Is this your Roman Empire?
I mean,
is this your Roman Empire?
Kinda. He should have. He should.
But he wasn't gone. I mean, he was gone. But we don't know. Yeah. It's like Elvis or Tupac. Like, are they gone? They're around.
Oh. Yeah,
they're not here. But we kind of feel like maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Possibly. And that was it. They're trapped in an iceberg.
Just
they're
really
trapped in an iceberg.
Elvis and Tupac.
You honestly sound like me with my fiance because I get so worked up when talking about Avatar. Like, I constantly go into how Korra and Aang are complete opposites in almost every aspect. And
meant
so when
to
I
be,
go into
yeah.
like when I go into Korra's development, because I know she's a little season one and two, I'm just like,
she's probably
oh, you're
yeah.
so angry.
Yeah.
You're so angry. Why are you so angry? And she yeah. I get it. But I'm like, you don't understand what she had to go through, and Aang lost his blah blah blah. And he's like, we were talking about the dishes. And I'm like, this goes deeper than the dishes. We're here for the Avatar. And,
yeah.
and so it's I get like that all the time. So I completely Aww. Feel when you get passionate about something,
yeah.
you have
yeah.
to like go take a walk afterwards. You're like, I need to go do something.
100%. But you're also both of you are also taking that and like I don't want to say justifying it because that makes it sound like it needs to be justified, but having the real life reasons to justify the conversation about it
right.
because of the art inside of the show, because of the advice and the inspiration and the values inside of the show.
What's well, like, personal?
It's
personal.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And then you're spreading
yes.
it and you're taking it to other people. Like that's what it's all
Absolutely.
About, you know?
And it's yeah. funny that you say that because something that really spoke to me in this series was actually how they do represent disability in the world of the Avatarverse, because
yeah,
yes. there's so many different complex disabilities that just it's endearing and it's very small and like the humor just comes out in little blips. Return to Omashu, I believe, season 2, episode
yeah.
3.
Yes.
When they get pentapox, there's a little old man. He's got a prosthetic leg and Sokka says, okay, now you got to act and walk the walk. And the old man comes out and he goes, and Sokka says, yes, that's it. And he says, years of practice, and then takes his cane and bangs it on his prosthetic leg. And I'm like, that's my whole life.
Yes.
That's how I cope, is with the dark humor. And to have that in like just a second. Meanwhile, they're talking about hostages in that episode.
True.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's
goes
how
deep.
They're getting out of it. Goes deep. Like
Ooh.
They go real deep. But to make light of a situation that is so dark, that is
Toph,
a really big
Toph
coping
has
mechanism.
Nonstop humor. Toph has nonstop humor about
she
her
goes off.
Sight disabilities.
Oh my God. When
yes.
she says stuff like, when you've seen nothing once, you've seen it 1,000 times or whatever, I'm just like,
oh,
she's
my
you
God.
Are the goat.
I'm
you
dead.
Are the goat, dog.
She's like,
she's putting
I'm
up
dead.
The posters like, of Appa,
oh.
and the Appa posters are backwards. She's so like, it's upside dead. Down, isn't it? You can't even see Appa.
Sokka's like, oh, it's so dark down here. I can't see a thing. And she's like, oh no, what a nightmare.
Because, but again,
it's so endearing.
We all get it. I mean,
right.
we've all, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, Melanie, but like, again, mm-hmm. as a person who has and has not things I can and can't do, some of which I've never been able to do, some of which I've lost
sure.
the ability to do due to things that have happened to my body. We've
absolutely.
All been on either side. We've all been on
you,
either
you
side.
You have adapted.
Of that.
That's the word.
Absolutely. And even with whatever particular disability we happen to have or whatever mm-hmm. moment we are in our lives, we have all put our foot in our mouth, so to speak. We have all we
yes.
have all been the person who's like, oh, I realize what I just said and it's kind of not the right thing to have said. Like all of those
oh.
moments are so human, and I think those opportunities to be upfront and open about it and to kid about it, and but at the same time to be compassionate about it is so much better than like, we just don't talk about that. Like, don't bring up the thing because, you know, and, it's like, we can't live like that.
You can't imagine how many times, and I have a prop with me, how many times I just go to my friends and I will lift up a hand that I just have on hand. And I say, do you need a hand? Because I didn't even introduce myself with a visual description. I am a right arm amputee, if you cannot see me at this time, below the elbow. But like you were saying, Janet, there's a before and after of you having the ability, right? Toph, we believe Toph is born with her disability.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Her eyes are blue and she, you know, has all these characteristics that are drawn into her physically, literally. But then there are those of us who do acquire that, and Cora loses her ability later on down the line. And the power that Ty Lee has of being able to make people stop, you know, like it's, there's so many little things and little moments of adaptations that you see in this. Aang can't sleep. There's so many things, right?
Like, Zuko loses his ability for hot second.
He does. We just talked about it. We just talked about it. A little puff of spark coming out there. I lost my stuff. Exactly, Katie.
And don't let me. I didn't take it.
I love that. Exactly. I love that.
I think, too, like, writ large in Korra, you know, with the first season, Foreshadow Report, we're hit with, you know, the ability to bend, period. Mm. Like, just not being able to bend is a very different experience living in a world with people who can. Right. And I think giving us that lens where it's like, no, let's pull out even further and talk about this in this very big way and talk about what it feels like and talk about how frustrating it can be in those scenarios when you feel like, well, this is an ideal scenario for a bender. Now I'm being taken advantage of because I can't bend, and
it doesn't feel great.
Maybe maybe a mom has a point.
I am not.
Yeah, exactly.
Marco, am I bending?
Everything will be all right. We just need to get out of here.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we're going to ask you our big questions. But before we do that, I just was very excited about you two in particular. And so we worked up some fun stuff that we are excited to hear your answers on.
Okay.
And we understand that they're your answers right now.
There's
you
no
could
wrong
have
answers.
A different feeling in an hour and be like, oh, I also could have said blah, blah, blah.
We're not going to hold you to it.
This is
clear. I'll be like, no, wait, listen.
Yeah, this is how you feel in this moment. And there's
didn't
nothing wrong
you say?
That. Yeah.
Okay, first question for Katie. Would you rather compete in an Earth Rumble with Toph as your partner or join the Fire Ferrets and pro-bend with Korra, Mako, and Bolin?
Wow, nerd Armageddon. Okay. So as somebody who's seen both series, I know we can kind of, you know, we can kind of notice I lean a little bit towards Legend of Korra. Here's my thing, though. I respect Toph so much.
She's a girl.
And I can recognize her. No. So I recognize her as like the greatest earthbender of her time, obviously. I can't be a partner to that. She took down everybody in two moves. I'm going to be off to the side like, let's go team. You don't need me. So I would probably choose the Fire Ferrets. One, because I can replace Mako as the firebender.
And I'll be
like, me and Korra can work together. But two, fun fact, one of the things that has also drawn me to martial arts, and I do hope to do stunts one day, I love dramatic falls and used to make up dramatic falls.
Oh my God, I love this.
Video games, I also make my characters dramatically fall into water because I think it's funny. And I'm like, oh, they hit the water, it's fine. I know that's not the case. But if I was able to do that in the pro bending, like just do like this crazy awesome combo and then they spin seven times, hit the mat, and then hit the drink. That's it. That's my childhood right there.
Great.
Love it.
So I think we're going Fire Ferrets.
Okay. Melanie, if you want to answer that question too, you're more than welcome.
You know what? I would be right on the sidelines with Katie for sure. Uh-huh. Just cheering everybody on. Go greatest earthbender in the world, Toph. But Katie, for sure. Yeah, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
I'm
soft and cuddly. But I will say, Katie, that I work in the film industry. I'm in SAG-AFTRA, and I work with stunt people. They are the best people.
Oh, man. Could not agree
more. I love stunt people so much. They do so much. They go above and beyond. And I just watched The Boy Who Lived, which is a really great documentary about Harry Potter, his first stuntman becoming disabled, and his progression in life. Highly recommend that. It is so wonderful. and also as somebody who acquired a disability, to see that happen, of somebody who has a career in the film industry become disabled, and then like stunt people, that is your full body.
Yes.
That is, your body is your instrument in that.
Yeah.
And just to see all the work that they really go through. But yeah, in this situation of the question that you asked, yes, I will be on the sidelines.
Okay.
Watching
Fun top fact. Dominate.
My karate studio, we actually have a little bit, it's almost like a ritual. A lot of the people, when they turn 18, they actually go do stunts in Hollywood. I think, so my studio is Sharky's Karate Studio. It's out in Naperville. We have, I think, over 50, 60 of our students who actually are active stunt people. Sometimes I get really mad because they're like, hey, can you cover these classes? We're going to go film Karate Kid. And I'm like, I hate you. I'm like, sure, for the classes.
We'll be cheering for them on the sidelines, Katie.
Love it. Okay. Melanie, I happened to know some of your favorite characters. So here's your would you rather. Fly for a scenic view of the Fire Nation on Appa, or hang out and eat snacks with Momo? That's right. Okay, I'm bringing in two of your favorites and pitting them against
each other. Two of my favorites and two of my favorite things, which are scenic views and snacks.
Yes.
I can choose both? I can't.
Either or. Cheeseburger?
I would totally have snacks with Momo while like taking it in.
This is why I'm making. Queen, that's why we wanted to be cruel and give you guys like awesome, two awesome things you can choose.
I'm gonna go with snacks. Snacks all day.
Snack with Momo.
Great.
Snacks with Momo.
Fire Nation is
so cute.
A great, you know.
Yeah.
A great landscape.
Well, let's see what Katie says. Katie, you gonna jump on Appa?
I would fight Momo for the food. That's
okay,
the problem.
Great.
I can't do that. I'm trying to chill out. And my cats are kind of like Momo, so I already live with that. I'm gonna go scenic with Appa mostly because I'm not trying to fight and lose to a flying lemur.
That's a really good point.
He would probably win.
I think
that's
scrappy.
Undeniable.
Just kick it
with Appa a little bit. Enjoy the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
Get the fire gummies, the hot flakes. I can't remember the little fire.
Fire flakes.
That's it.
Okay. Another question. So, for Katie, would you rather spend the day on the high seas with the pirates, from book 1 and 2, or spend the day interning for the warden of the prison in book 1?
These are two.
Those are
less
horrible.
Pleasant.
These are both
They're
horrible.
Less pleasant. They're less pleasant.
Okay. So this is a slightly easier than the last one, because as much as I would love to just listen to George Takei the entire time and zone out, I can't consciously in good faith discriminate against an entire set of people. So I don't want to imprison anybody and be like the power over them.
True.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
So I don't want to imprison any earthbenders. So we're going to. And who doesn't have a pirate?
Pirate's
fantasy?
Life for you. Pirate's life Fair. For me. That's,
like,
that's it.
Let's go swashbuckle. Let's go. I'm going to mess with that parrot bird thing that they hang out with.
Those are
like,
the worst pirates ever. But I mean,
you know, if I'm going to be a jerk, I might as well be a jerk to everybody and just steal
there
some
you
gold
go.
Instead
Equal
of imprisoning an entire type of person.
Equal
so
opportunity.
We're going, equal pirate. So, as
Where
much
are
as
the
ocean,
authorities with these pirates? These pirates are running rampant.
That's pirates.
No one,
there's no authority.
That's pirates.
No authority. Pirates on the high seas.
Yar.
100 years water? Without an avatar. It's mind-boggling. Mind-blowing.
Where's the water tribe authorities?
Yep. Yep.
No. I'm going to kick it with the pirates and just be a little crazy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Melanie, what about you?
I do. I have to go with pirates 100%. Of course, I'm actually a Disney College program alumni and a former cast member. And I did, funny enough, I think it's ironic. And here's my dark humor. I was a pirate in Disney World before I actually became a pirate and have a hook now, which is, to me, it's karmic. It's karmic reward,
Perfect.
Right? But I am a pirate to the core. Foreshadowing. I loved it, though. I would go to work in Disney every day. And, you know, most people in Magic Kingdom were like, oh, tra-la-la, magic. And I'm like, it was an acting role and a retail role. So
yeah.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
You had a script you had to follow. And I all day just got to be mean to people.
Oh.
It was so fun. So yes, I will hang out with the pirates. No problems. No,
sure.
I don't care how they smell.
I get
I'm
it.
A pirate lady all the way.
I get it. I think I would do the same.
All grown-ups
do the
are
same.
Pirates.
Yeah.
All grown-ups, yeah. Yeah, that's
fair. Oh, there we go.
But Who wants to go to prison? No one wants to go inside the prison.
It's just the
run
thing is, Trisha K does such a great job.
Stay
as
away
the
from
warden.
The prison.
He's so funny to me as a warden, but I already have a little bit of a power trip
as like an instructor, so I don't
need
anymore.
There you go. There you go. Everybody, yeah. We don't know exactly the ranks of those pirates, so you guys can sort it out. All right, Melanie, would you? I feel like I know the answer to this. But would you rather have to pamper Azula on her spa day or walk through a dark forest with Hama? I know you're...
I don't know your answer.
We got to make Dante answer this one because he's scared
about it. That's a little too rough. It's a little too rough, buddy. I would not be with Hama. There's no way.
No way I'm with Hama.
I'm sorry. Did you want to put cucumber slices on your own sister who's mean to you and like brush her hair for her?
First of all, she's my little sister.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving none of that.
She's not getting any of that. All right.
She ain't getting none of that, but I'm definitely going to have Auntie Hama.
I would be eating the cucumbers. Yeah. No, Azula is kind of, she's my kindred spirit a little bit. I was the older sister. So like I was the oldest of my cousins and I just kind of have that like that confidence that you don't have to really anticipate. It's there. And that's where Azula speaks from. I would want to hang out with
that's
Azula.
Psychopathic confidence are we talking about?
I mean,
a little potato, tomato.
What about Auntie Hama for like a little walk in the forest with Auntie Hama? Heck no. I don't want to go there, Mom. I'm not going to go hang out with Auntie Hama. She scares me.
Katie, are you going to go Auntie Hama? Are you going to go hang out with Hama in the forest?
I'm actually going to go with Auntie Hama in
the
forest
on
this one.
We got to take her.
That's worse than the spa day. Come on.
So if I heard the question right, you have to pamper Azula.
Correct.
I would get Azula and I would clash, okay? Yeah. Like, she'd be like, you didn't do this. And be like, girl, I don't know that.
Exactly.
Like, and then I would get banished from the Fire Nation.
Exactly.
She's dangerous.
Or she would like.
She's reckless.
And into me. And I'm like, I can't be dealing with that. I'm too much of a out there, like, kind of a, like, person.
This is a no-win situation.
No. It's like, really hard. Like, that's a thing. It's a lose-lose.
We don't know if I'm going to get bloodbended. Because we didn't talk about whether it's a full moon or not. She doesn't have a mom powers or Yacomb powers.
Yeah.
She don't got to know any of this.
I don't want to be nowhere with Hama.
I love horror movies. I love cryptids.
Oh.
I don't want to be in one because that'd be terrible. But I'm assuming if I am in the Avatarverse, I have some type of, you know, fighting cryptid. More of a fighting credibility.
Okay.
So I'm going to chance it and just be like, bloodbending, this wild.
That's true.
She could not be in a bloodbending mood.
She could just be making you soup. She just make you soup.
Yeah,
exactly.
I got to tell you,
and
I think I might go with Hama too.
Psychotic old lady over the pampering of the psychotic young lady.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Congratulations, Katara. You're a bloodbender.
Melanie, what character from Avatar The Last Airbender would you pick to do a 48-hour filmmaking challenge with?
I love this question so much. It's very hard. It is very hard because I have two in mind. Okay, hear me out. First is Sokka.
Easy.
Sokka, 100% easy.
1,000.
Because you both as actors know that the gift of working with directors who are formerly actors, Sokka is the comedian, right?
Yeah.
And he has the gifts to give to the actors in the...
Sokka's a no-brainer.
He just, in his core, he is a director. Like, in another life, Sokka would be a director. 100%.
He's also like, you guys need me to lift this thing? Great. Where do we got? Like, somebody's got to go get something for someone with low blood sugar?
He is a team player.
Anyone who's been on
Swiss Army Knife.
You need team players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a great answer.
And then two, the other person creatively on the end that I would pick, and this one might be a little, like, you might not expect, I would say Boomy. I say this because of in The King of Oamashu, he creates an entire scenario where he has the main character Aang has to discover all these things about his best foreshadow report, best friend. This is his best friend
back
in the world.
Back shadow, yeah.
Backshot. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, what? Backshot?
I don't know. I just made that up right now.
It's brilliant.
And then he just traps, and he traps his best friends in rock candy.
Yeah.
Just like no big.
He is very creative. He's very imaginative. He's playful and imaginative. Him.
He's like the Willy Wonka of the Avatar.
You want that too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's I love that. That's a good one. Yeah. So that I would say Boomy or Sokka.
Katie, you want to answer this one?
Oh, the Ember Island pilot players.
Yeah.
Because it would be the craziest,
most wild, inaccurate.
Great. It's like a parody, and I think it would just be fun.
Absolutely.
Mockumentary style. The entire studio
of the Ember Island.
Absolutely.
It's filmmaking.
It's, yeah.
No one says it's not documentary. Yep. It's filmmaking.
Yep.
Hey, I want whoever was pulling the fake avatar on the wire. I was like, the strength they had for her to keep her. Good. They care about their actors and their stuff.
That's right. Okay, Katie, what character from Avatar: The Last Airbender would you choose to do a walking tour of a city you've never been to with?
I have to go with probably the most all-knowing character. I'm going with Uncle Iroh. And it's because not only is he going to know the, you know, the ins and out, the history of the city.
Yeah.
And I love his fatherly, like his father figure vibes. And I love, and I would love that energy. But also on top of him knowing every big thing, I would assume he knows the people, the nitty gritty, the spots that you missed, the hidden treasure.
For that spot of tea. Take in your environment. Don't rush.
Don't have to go to the inner ring of Ba Sing Se. Yeah. He can find the diamond in the rough on the outer walls and, you know, meet people. And it doesn't necessarily mean he has to know the person, but when he does come in contact with somebody, it's like they've He's known each other for a while. He's a well-traveled man.
So
I would 100%.
Took him a while to get to Ba Sing Se, but beyond Ba Sing Se, you know.
He stopped, gave himself a little hot tub action along the way. Yeah. He knows how to enjoy it. He knows how to enjoy it.
On the way
I feel like I could learn some stuff.
I love that answer. Uncle Iroh. Melanie, what about you?
Oh, Iroh all the way.
100%. Iroh's great.
He's doing a guided tour that we all get to go on.
To play Pasho with all the people I feel like he might know somebody in every city to play a game with.
He knows everyone. He's a well-traveled white lotus.
And he would know the history of a place, but he also would know like the details of like culture and things like that.
For sure.
I think I like storytelling more than anything. So hearing people talk about a place sometimes is really important to me.
So sitting with Iroh, not to toot my own horn. If you want to come and spend, you know, a day in the capital city with, you know, the Fire Lord.
Okay, again, he is selling it hard.
I'm so there.
Always, you know, he's always selling.
Not a bad
royal. Always selling. Always be selling.
I mean, Zuko knows some places also. He knows some people. Got some hookups.
Okay, Silver Sandwich.
Got some love some places.
Listen,
I'm just saying, you know.
I'm sure Iroh rubbed off on Zuko in many situations. And he pretends like he doesn't listen.
In the hot city, absolutely. You know?
I know he pretends. Buddy.
He pretends he believes that made sense.
Get you on the list in some places, you know? Don't worry about it. We know it.
Don't you worry about it. Okay.
Prince Zuko, is something wrong? You didn't take the palanquin.
I'm just going to May's house. It's not far.
It's not a prince's place to walk anywhere, sir.
Let's go first. What are your favorite hybrid animals? What's your favorite hybrid animal? Let's go with you first, Katie. What's your favorite hybrid animal?
So I know there's like a million of them. Yeah. And I was trying to think of like the kind of cool, sleek, could also be your battle buddy. But I love Pabu. I love Pabu so much, the fire ferret. Pabu. I think the wolf followers are cool. But I always thought something like Shirshu was also really cool.
Yeah,
Shirshu's
Pabu's just not got that little like those Momo vibes.
He's your buddy.
What's Pabu?
He
Pabu's what? Yeah. What
he's a fire ferret.
He's just a fire ferret.
I think he's a red and a red panda.
He's a red panda.
He's
a red panda and a ferret.
Yes, I always thought it'd be really, really cool if they did a red panda mixed with a tiger, though. Like I was thinking of hybrids to create. But I would say just because.
What about a badger?
That's just basically figure out what a badger looks like first, and then we'll talk. Melanie, what about you?
Oh, this is an easy one for me. In listening to your podcast, learning about book one, that Naga was supposed to be an avatar, and what she was and what she meant to the creators. I had a yellow lab growing up, and Naga is like 100%. My dog's face. Like, and I saw that. So, and I think that's for me, having Naga as Korra is my favorite. Between the two.
Oh, Pabu and Naga for the win, everybody.
But Naga, for sure.
Naga's, she's half particular
polar bear dog.
Polar bear dog, yeah. Particular dog?
I mean, other
polar
than
bear
that,
dog,
we
I
did,
think.
Yeah, polar bear. But like, breed of dog, I don't think
we don't know.
Is we're going that deeply into it. But,
okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
it's like
a good question.
To
it's
me.
A fair question. But I agree with you, the lab.
Yeah,
I think that's the face that we're looking at. Love those answers so very much for all the reasons you can imagine. And then who do you ship? Melanie, let's start with who? With who?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's start with you. Who do you ship?
Okay, here we go. I was just listening to the episode with the woman who voiced Azula and Tyzula for me.
Tyzula.
I love Tyzula.
I love Tyzula.
Something about like
Ty Lee. I saw it. There's that scene. I was like, oh yeah, it's Tyzula all the way.
In the beach, yeah, for sure.
The beach is like one of the best. But also when they meet, like you kind of get the sense that Ty Lee can stand up to Azula in some scenarios. Like that's really important because there's really not many characters who would do that.
And Azula's wild. She set those nets on fire to one of her best friends. Like, you come or you're...
She did.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
She puts her foot down. She puts her foot down. And I have to respect that. But also Korra and Asami. Korra-sami.
Love.
That's another
Korra-sami. Katie, talk to us. Who do you ship?
Korra Sami.
Yeah.
No, so like, I mean, the thing that was really cool with Korra Sami too was that was my first ship. Almost everybody was like, no, it's not going to happen. That was my first like canon ship almost. Like that started out where it wasn't established, like the end of the series didn't start. And they ended up together and it was crazy because at the end of book three, I called it. Because when Asami has that like little moment with Korra at the, you know, right before the coronation, I was watching the series with one of my coworkers at that time, and I went into work and I went, why did I think they were gonna kiss? He's like, they weren't gonna kiss, and I was like, no, that felt intimate, and he was like, no, you're crazy, it's not gonna happen. And I'm like, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Book four happens.
Good call.
And I told you so, like book four.
Beautiful.
So, I mean, even their names complete each other. You don't have to cut their names
off. It's very true.
They complete each other. I'm sorry. I'm such a nerd.
In the right
Korra company. Korra-sami all the way.
Love it. Love it.
Now it's time for the big question. I'm going to start with Katie because I kind of feel where it's at because you're wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, we did hear some name dropping.
So in the world of Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra, if you were a bender, what kind of bender would you be?
Well, no, I'm kidding. Obviously, you can't pick Avatar, which is rough.
I feel like you can. But
some people have.
You can.
Janet, the only person who can tell me I'm the Avatar is you. So I'm just... but, but no, if
Janet
we're going
is
with
the Avatar. But she's still water. But she's still water tribe.
She's still the Avatar.
But even if you are the Avatar...
What's your tribe?
Baby.
Fire Nation, baby. Let's go for the win. High fives, Fire Nation.
Good folks out there in the Fire Nation. All has to do with fighting style. Karate, which is my main martial art. I do like five martial arts. Karate is where I started. Even though the style of karate I started in, it's very low, solid stances. You would think it's kind of earthbendery, but each element has these low stances.
Yeah.
You know, the Fire Nation is, I almost say it's like the offensive air. They're very similar in the movesets that they present, at least
like
in Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. I have a very like aggressive personality and I get very into it and I get very, and I just, fire is something when my friends talk about me, they think you're a very fiery, passionate person. And it comes through with my striking and my techniques. And I am very loud and aggressive. So I would go Fire Nation based off of those
attributes.
There we
go.
Let's go Fire Nation.
There we go.
Melanie.
What you got for us?
I mean, Dante kind of called it with the top button I'm rocking today.
Hey, Fire Nation, let's go. My
love for Azula, we're going Fire Nation all day. But there
Fire
is
Nation
a reason why I
house.
Say that. Yeah, I do. I'm the same as Katie. I would love to say Avatar too because there's parts of me that's like yoga, acting coach.
Oh yeah,
GDC,
you both
all
have
the things that I do.
So much going
that
on.
All kind of right. Like who wouldn't choose to be the Avatar? Like
I'm not
a lot of responsibility.
So too much responsibility. I don't know. No. Don't look at me for all this stuff.
So the Fire Nation I would choose, though, because I think two of my favorite Fire Nation characters are actually Iroh and Roku, because yes. Roku is the Fire Nation avatar.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they do really, they're kind-hearted souls. Yes. Like, we learn about Roku and the relationship that he had, and that's just, and Iroh in himself, his bouncing back from being in prison, right? Where they're like, you old man, you can't. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes back buff. That kind of relates to my story of becoming disabled and then going back into the world and having no fear. And he honestly, yes. and then he gets captured. Is it before or after he gets, no, before he gets captured by Azula, he does his dragon breath of fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just that moment for me was everything.
Oh, and my
just
God.
Seeing him just kind of in his
dragon of the
because
West.
He
yeah.
does present.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Dragon of the West.
Of the West.
The Dragon of the West. He presents himself so calm and humble and very balanced. But when he has to fight, he like claws out.
He knows what to do.
That. So yeah, Fire Nation.
I love that. And I love the Roku answer too, because that's, little brief glimpse we get of what it's like to have a Fire Nation avatar who still believes in balance. And that's so important for us to remember that Fire Nation does not mean imbalance
and
every
best
time.
Friends and everything.
And Dante said it, like the good people of the Fire Nation.
That's right.
It's
good folks.
Represent
Fire Nation.
Hi, Katie. Some good folks of the Fire Nation.
We've proved it.
There is life and energy. Life and energy.
If we have ever proved it before now, I can't think of a time we've proved it more than today with our good folks of the Fire Nation.
Good folks of Fire Nation.
You saw them here.
Shout out to all you good folks of Fire Nation.
Katie, Melanie, thank you for representing Fire Nation. Thank you for representing the fandom. Thank you for all you do and all the inspiration you're bringing to everyone in your lives and beyond. Thank you so much for doing this. Where can people find you if you would like for them to find you?
Yeah, so I'm mostly just on Instagram. I don't know how Twitter works or X now.
You're fine.
I have my personal page, which is my screen name is knockout95, knock period out period 95. You get a little bit of just my daily life or some martial arts stuff. And then I am currently in the process of coming up with a self-defense page, which is going to be called Beware the B1 Ladies. It's going to be a page that's run by me and my co-instructor, who is an awesome second degree black belt in judo. And the page is going to be dedicated to self-defense.
Awesome.
It's going to focus on a lot of females, but I believe that self-defense is supposed to be accessed by everybody. Everybody should know how to defend themselves, and everybody should know that there are threats coming big and small, whatever you need to know. Mm-hmm. So come over to the page for some demos, a little bit of lessons. So when that comes up, I'll have it in my other Instagram. But
awesome.
Brilliant.
But
love
two,
it.
Two pages, hopefully.
Melanie, what about you?
So I am on the socials. My background is in marketing. So I'm so sorry. I have like a laundry list. I go by Where's Waldman? Like, Where's Waldo? That's my WALDMAN. Where's Waldman? Instagram, TikTok, X, what is it? Threads. They're all there. All of the things. And then I also have another account for my yoga business, which is called Adapting Yoga, just all together.
Great.
Also on the same apps and all of the things. And Adapting Yoga, we do one practice a month online on Zoom.
Beautiful.
So it's virtual, accessible. It's a chair practice or whatever you want to make it. We cater it to anybody's ability. You don't even have to be disabled to come, right? Anybody can show up at any point in their life, so long as your doctor says it's okay. That's the most important thing to me. My podcast, Little Miss Representation, I'm going to get that up and rolling on Spotify ASAP. And it's right now on YouTube. You can watch episode one. And like I said, episode two is coming. Nick Novicki and into the Spider-Verse? Across the Spider-Verse.
Across the Spider-Verse, yes.
Co-directed by our friend Joaquin Dos Santos.
Joaquin Dos Santos, yes.
Y'all, love that movie.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love what you're both up to. Everybody, thank you so much for watching or listening. And we will talk to you next week. All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Now, want more Avatar? You can follow the official Avatar accounts at Avatar The Last Airbender on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
Tell your fellow Avatar friends to listen, rate, and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez-Thomas and MindJam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston Sessler, produced by Lisa Summerscale-Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phono record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.